All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says, "Now all of these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." I want us in our study today to look at the character of Moses and note particularly the mistakes that Moses made. First of all, a little bit of a background, just real quickly. We read in Exodus 2 of his birth. We see that he was 40 years old when he fled Egypt. In chapter 3, he was 80 years old when he came back to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. It's in chapters 7 through 12 of the book of Exodus that we read about the plagues that were brought against Pharaoh in Egypt. The plague of blood, frogs, lice, flies, cattle, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and then finally the death of the firstborn. In chapter 13 of the book of Exodus, he leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. In chapter 14, we read about the crossing of the Red Sea. In Exodus 15, we find that the bitter water that they found was made sweet by casting the tree into the water as God gave command. In Exodus 16, the food gave out, and that's when God supplied the manna and the quail for the children of Israel to eat. In Exodus 17, they have no water. On this occasion, God instructs Moses to strike the rock. It's in Exodus 19 through chapter 31 that we read about what events took place at Mount Sinai, primarily, of course, that of the giving of the law. In Exodus 32, we read about the golden calves that the children of Israel had made while Moses was up on the mountain. In Numbers, the 13th chapter, we read about them coming to the land of Canaan and descending of the 12 spies to search out the land. And we find that it was due to the report of 10 of those 12. In Numbers 14, God causes the children of Israel to wander in the wilderness for a 40-year period to resemble the 40 days that the spies were gone spying out the land of Canaan. In Numbers 16, we read about Korah and his rebellion. And it's in Numbers 12 that we read verse 3. "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth." I want us now to look at Numbers, the 20th chapter, and let's read 13 verses from there. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. "Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, 'If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spake to Moses, saying, Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, Because you did not believe me, to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. One thing that we see concerning the mistake that Moses made was the sin of anger. You know, it's in Psalms 106, in verse 32, that says, They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his mouth. So we see the reaction of Moses to this event that's not recorded here in Numbers, but we find it there in Psalms 106, verses 32 and 33. We know in regards to anger, the Bible teaches, like in Ephesians 4 and verse 26, Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. James tells us in James 1, verse 19, So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Yes, Moses committed the sin of anger. But two, Moses committed the sin of disobedience. God told him to speak to the rock. Instead, Moses spoke to the people and struck the rock twice. Then there was the sin not just only of disobedience, in that he did not speak to the rock. There was the sin of transgression. He went beyond what God told him to do. Instead of speaking, which he didn't do, he did strike the rock. So he transgressed what God commanded him to do. And God told him in the process of it all that he, God, was dishonored. God gave water. But you remember what Moses said? He said, Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And then, amazingly, and maybe somewhat surprisingly enough, Moses committed the sin of unbelief. Yes, unbelief. Moses, you know, somebody may say, well, how is that possible? Not Moses. Well, let's look again at verse 12. Then the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, Because you did not believe me, to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you will not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. God very plainly tells Moses and Aaron, You did not believe me. And yet, most of his life, Moses was a believer, but yet on this occasion, on this very occasion, he was an unbeliever because God declared him to be such. Friends, we know that a believer is a person who can see God just as plain with the eyes of faith as we see material things with our eyes. See, Moses took the complaints of the people personally, when all of the time, Moses himself, he was just simply God's messenger boy. And in so acting the way he did, Moses acted on his own initiative. Friends, belief is meekness instead of anger. Remember James said in James 1, verse 21, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Friends, belief is obedience, not disobedience. Again, James said in James 2 and verse 14, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" See, real belief will be respectful of God's commands. It will be respectful of the things that God is silent about. And belief, real belief, will not transgress, go beyond what God says to do. So see, belief is honor. But what did Moses do? God tells Moses, "Because you hallowed me not in the eyes of the children of Israel." So Moses brought dishonor upon God before the children of Israel in his transgression, in his unbelief. So what do we learn from all of this? Well, one thing we can learn: sin in areas where we think that we're the strongest, we can sin. You know, there's a passage in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 that says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Yes, we can sin in the area where we think we're the strongest. One lesson, too, that we can learn from all of this is that the end does not justify the means. What we see happening here is that the children of Israel were thirsty. Their children were thirsty. Their animals were thirsty. And we find that God tells Moses to speak to the rock. Well, instead, Moses strikes the rock. But what happens? Water comes forth. Water comes forth the same as if it were that Moses did exactly what God said do, but Moses did not do exactly what God said do. Sometimes we can see the results of something and say that, well, you know, it doesn't matter how you obtain those results. Friends, the story of Moses here in Numbers chapter 20 is a story that tells us the end does not justify the means. God expects exact obedience. And whatever the good outcome of a sin might appear, that still doesn't alter the consequences. Moses still had to pay the consequences of his sin. And the consequences was that he would not bring the children of Israel into the land of promise. Friends, another lesson that we can see, I hope, from what we read: God is no respecter of person. If there was ever a person that God would allow to bend the rules, don't you think it would have been Moses? Moses, of all people that we can read about in both the Old and the New Testament, surely, in our human way of thinking. But friends, God doesn't think the way we think. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. So God is no respecter of person, even though the person that we're reading about here is Moses, of all people. And there's no room for arguing with God. There's a statement made about this same thing in Deuteronomy 3, when Moses said in verse 23, "Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven and in earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter." Friends, we see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and we now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.